Viewer discretion is advised, but will be completely ignored.
Spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Unless a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Once upon a time, there were three very different wrestling fans.
Welcome to the second edition of Black Hearts Angels. I'm Sharcy, joined by her partner, her beautiful partners in crime, Thierry, Bianca, and Binky. Welcome back, Binky. We missed you last week. It's glad to have you back.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, ring the notification bell, and share this with all your friends. Come on. This is the place to be this week with us girls. We're getting into some hot and heavy topics this week, so come in and join us. Check us out on our Linktree store area, guys. This is where you can find everything, all things related to our podcast, our show. Everything's on Linktree / Off the Top Ropes podcast. Check it out. You'll find everything you need to do about us here. Also, don't forget to check out our amazing sponsors. We wouldn't be here without them. W Energy, one of the best energy drinks out there. Use the coupon code OTTRMOB and save an additional 10% off your order. I mean, save some money on amazing energy drink. Also, don't forget to check out our Dream Alive store. I mean, some beautiful, amazing, beautiful merch here. Use the coupon code OTTRMOB and save an additional 15% off there too. And last but not least, GetSoLace.com. I mean, some beautiful stuff. Valentine's Day is coming up, Aaron. So if you want to get something for your girls or your guys, check it out here at GetSoLace.com. So how's everyone doing? Are we ready to get into this wild and crazy?
All right, shall we get into our first?
Oh, yeah. Let's get, we're going to get hot and heavy right off the bat here.
Oh, yay.
Go to bonfire.com/store/off-the-top-ropes-podcast and check out all our beautiful and amazing new Black Hearts Angels merch. I mean, who doesn't want to rock out some of this beautiful and amazing merch here? I know I got to get some and rock that out, so. Ready to get into our first topic of the day?
Oh, yeah. Let's get it.
Yes. Let's do this.
This, we are going to be talking about Vince McMahon versus Janelle Grant. Just a bit of a trigger warning, just to warn anyone in the comments, those who are watching, that we will be discussing sexual assault charges. So we do not intend to hurt anyone's feelings or to make anyone feel uncomfortable, but it is something that we need to talk about as fans. Now, obviously, you guys know that Vince faced his first batch of allegations 2 years ago, and 2 years later, another misconduct has now been brought to light, and he has denied all claims, but he has also gone on to resign from WWE's parent company, TKO Group. Now, days before Mr. McMahon stepped aside, it is reported that he paid a $3 million settlement to a former employee after an alleged affair. He has not publicly addressed the allegations, but however says that these lies, this lawsuit is replete with lies, obscene made-up instances that never occurred. Now, the reason why I felt that it was important for us to talk about this is because I think the question that lies in the air is, does resignation equal guilt? And who is to blame? The organization as a whole or just Vince McMahon? What do you guys think?
That's a good question.
You would have to think that resignation would equal guilt, because I mean, you wouldn't resign if you weren't hiding anything in particular. But I mean, who is responsible, Vince or the whole organization? You'd have to say not only is Vince responsible for this because it's his behavior, but all the people that were underneath him that knew about this from the beginning that are not, you know, denying any allegations or denying any misconduct or anything. The whole organization in a whole has got to be completely responsible for their behavior, because there are people underneath Vince that were getting involved in this stuff too. So, I mean, everyone's got to be found liable and guilty. So you're going to find out in the upcoming weeks and stuff that there's more people that we might not have thought that were involved that are heavily involved in this misconduct. So,
yeah. And I also think that more of the guilt reason, because like, it's been, you know, hidden so long. You don't know how long it's been, you know, how long it's been happening. And then all of a sudden now they're putting it out. So you don't know how long or how many years or how many months it's been since this allegation has happened. So I think that's another reason of guilt that Vince McMahon, you know, has held on.
He's on that thing they call that straight edge thing where, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't know all those things. There's no way you can be my son or anybody else's son I know. Not at all.
You know, there's one other thing I don't do, Vince.
Oh, what's that?
I don't have dirty, unprotected sex with some money-grubbing skank who eventually files a paternity suit against me, which gets me kicked out of my own house. Yeah, leaves me nothing but a living, breathing, national disgrace.
I think the important thing to realize is there would be a huge difference if WWE was still on its own solo ownership, and the difference now with it now being headed by a parent company. Those guys have a duty not only to their own company, but to its subsidiaries, being UFC and WWE. So, and the harsh fact is, had this been probably 10 years ago, no offense, but no one would care. Because as bad and as harsh as it sounds to say that, no one would give. But the fact that we are now in a new age where, you know, women and men alike are feeling more confident in having to come out and say, you know, the stuff that they're going through, you know, it's, my hat goes off to her, because at the end of the day, it's difficult to come forward, especially to come forward against such powerful men in the industry. Look at WWE and how far it has come. It is one of the most richest sports organizations in the world, alongside the NFL, alongside Premier League, etc. So my heart goes out to her for, you know, being able to step forward. I feel like where my irritation kind of comes in is when people bombard Triple H and other members of, you know, other execs part of the company as to the information that they knew outside of it. Because let's just say Triple H didn't know that this stuff was happening. Let's just say. And people think that they have this obligation to interrogate him and ask him, you know, what do you know about this situation? Especially because it's an ongoing lawsuit, guys. Like, he can't just come out and just say, like, oh, yeah, so this is how I feel about it, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, people are asking, oh, what have he done? Brock Lesnar was taken off schedule. His merch is no longer on the website. That speaks volumes. He might not be speaking out against his father-in-law, because at the end of the day, it's his father-in-law as well. Like, he's not going to come out and be like, yeah, my father-in-law is a dickhead. He's married to his child. Like, it's not going to work.
Exactly.
He's no longer on the website. You know, he's been removed on schedule, et cetera, et cetera. That counts for something, right? So, you know, I mean, the question of resignation, well, you have to remember as well, this is the company's image. It's not just his own. Oh, yeah. I mean, the lawsuit is directly for Vince. But then when you think Vince McMahon, what do you think? You think WWE. So right. A part of me could say he resigned because of the image of the company and not necessarily because he's guilty. But, I mean, looking at how WWE used to be scheduled back in the day, I wouldn't be surprised if,
right,
if allegations are true. Like,
yeah,
just saying, you know. What do you guys think? Like, what's on your mind when it comes to this? Because I know this is a very sensitive topic.
It is.
It's really
it
is.
It really is.
Because,
honestly, I mean, we all know that Vince is a scumbag, and it's not a surprise that these allegations came up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's so crazy. It's like, I thought that he was like literally gone. I mean, he resigned
right.
as head of creative writing, and Triple H took over. Mm-hmm. And I thought that he resigned from other companies, other organizations, whatever you call it. And as for TKO, it's like, wow, like he got resigned. And people shouldn't be surprised because at the end of the day, he's a douchebag. And it's like he resigned. And I'm like, okay, you're hiding something here. You're really hiding something.
Yeah.
And I understand Triple H being the son-in-law, he can't say anything like negative about Vince or just anything just completely negative, just entirely. So, I mean, I Triple H, he's in a difficult situation.
Right.
So he just might as well have to just keep quiet as a church mouse. So that's all I have to say about Vincent's allegations, and it's not a surprise, really.
No, I mean, this has been years and years in the making, and it's like, so like they were saying in the bottom here, you know, with the whole John Laurinaitis thing, Chris even might have a point there. He's not as innocent as he claims. He claims he's the victim too, and I mean, I don't think you're as innocent as you are when you go along with her. I think he was the co-founder of Epstein Island, LMFAO. But the whole Triple H thing to me is interesting because it's like, I mean. Yeah, it's like you can't say anything. Yeah, it's your father-in-law. You're married to his daughter and everything. But it's like at that press conference that they had at the post pay-per-view, I mean, he did not do himself any favors at all. I mean, you can't really answer questions. But the fact that you're making jokes and turning it around and they're asking you serious questions and you're like, we're making a ton of money. This has been a good week for us, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you're not really doing yourself any favors, making yourself look any innocent in this whole scenario either. So, I mean,
exactly.
I get that. I think, you know, not saying.
I think the company did him dirty in terms of, I mean, well, at the end of the day, Paul Levesque is an intelligent man. He could have obviously come up with a pre-prepared statement to kind of address the situation and then be able to kind of focus on the good. I mean, the way he said it was as if nobody matters in this situation, as if people should just shut up and just like ignore the situation, which I think was wrong because at the end of the day, we all know that Triple H is an understanding guy. He listens to the WWE universe to some extent, but the way in which he went about it, I mean, when you're running a company as big as WWE, you have to remember there are some serious diehard fans out there that pretty much dedicate their lives to your company. They save up for months and months on end to afford tickets, you know, afford to go to meet and greets and such like that. It's not just your co-workers and your colleagues that you're looking after. You're also looking after the viewers. So if you, that's the whole reason why we're even in the PG era, to protect the eyes of the young children that love watching WWE. So
it makes
when stuff like this comes out, and you've got tons of female fans who have been in that position of sexual assault. I myself have been in a situation where I was sexually harassed, right? If I'm watching that, automatically I'm going to think, why do I even invest in this company. Of course, yes, there's an element of having to be harsh about it because you can't talk about an ongoing court proceeding lest you implicate yourself or lest you say things, you know, that aren't necessarily true and then it gets used against you in court, etc. But essentially, mm-hmm. I just feel it's a bit shitty, excuse my language, to just brush it off like it's something that doesn't matter. Do you get it?
Yeah. Because
if you can talk about how much money you're making, which is a sensitive topic as well, because really and truly, you shouldn't be outing what you're talking about, then you can answer simple questions. Even if you didn't want to implicate yourself or implicate your father-in-law, you could have prepared a statement that would prevent you from doing that. Rather than saying, yes, we're going to focus on the good things.
exactly.
Yeah, it's a bit shitty, but
it's crazy. Yeah. Oh, we haven't heard Bianca's point of view.
I'm just listening on the feedback, and more based off like it's not really more of a shocker about Vince McMahon's allegations and stuff like that. But in my sense of like case of this whole situation of the Brock Lesnar being in this whole situation is what it was like. Like, I'm just, like, now finding out, like, Brock Lesnar is a part of it. And so it's, like, what, like, literally happened? Because I'm seeing all these highlights on the internet about Brock Lesnar, his merch taken off of everything. And I'm just saying, like, what is going on? What he got involvement of what he did as well? Like, I'm just, like, in total shock about that part. Mm-hmm. So, like, go ahead.
No, what I was gonna say is like, and if you think that Brock's involved in the whole scenario too, like, it makes you wonder and question yourself what other big name stars that were like high under Vince and everything during that whole entire time. And I mean, that's the involved in this whole scenario too that we don't know about yet.
And that's the thing. If that's the case, if any other pro wrestlers are involved in it, why are they not calling them out? Why are they not saying anything? They only even mentioned Brock Lesnar. So it's like, okay, that's one person. Who else can it be? Who else done something, that we don't know? Or, that's hiding behind the backstage spotlight or whatever. And, doing all this, wrestling and not doing nothing about it. So
I think it's also a message to fans out there as well. Like, wrestling... And I hate saying this, okay? Don't attack me, but just let me say it and then I'll explain why I'm saying it. I hate saying this for you, but wrestling is fake, okay? And let me just say what I want to say because I can hear people rolling their eyes already. The reason why I'm saying that is because there were some diehard fans out there that were literally like, oh my gosh, Cody Rhodes this, Seth Rollins this, Liv Morgan this, they go so hard for these people that you don't know their private lives. You don't know what they're doing. Not to say that supporting is fun. Learn to separate the character from their real life. Let's separate the craft from the person. I'm being busy. Oh my gosh, this guy, this guy, this. When these allegations come out, I'm seeing, well, why are you blaming? Why are you coming forward now? Like, is it because he has money? Is it because
See, it's all about the fame. Like last time we talked about it, fame, popularity. Like, with it coming out now, like
you got a Harvey Weinstein ass call, a Vince McMahon ass call at the end of the game, just to add insult to injury.
So I can definitely understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very sensitive topic. I mean, it's not something that you want to dwell upon. It's not really something that you really want to discuss. But I felt like it was just important. And obviously, with us being a female's podcast, I just thought maybe we could talk about this because, it's something that we have to face in our everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And also to the men out there as well.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know. Yeah. There could even be a male in that locker room that has had to suffer and probably doesn't even know it himself or is too ashamed to come out and talk about it. At the end of the day, we can sit here and say, you know, the 1990s era to like mid-2000s, you know, before, you know, the PG era really came into full effect. We were all watching it. We all knew what was going on. But just because it was okay then doesn't mean it was always okay. There's a difference between desensitization and, and things being okay.
Yeah.
People just watch it and just brush it off. But that doesn't mean it's okay at all.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, a lot of people didn't really, I mean, they cared, but they didn't care as much back then. I mean, just look at it. It was the attitude era. And it's like, you just do what you want to do, just reckless, ruthless, whatever you want to do. You know, like, you can't tell me what to do, that type of attitude. And then, you know, when the PG era came in 2002, that's when they had to, like, tone it down. And then the allegations and about sexual harassment, sexual assault, sex trafficking, they took it really serious. And then they had to turn the company, WWE, into a family-oriented company. And so now they're taking it serious, you know, with Vince, the allegations against him. So, yeah, so they're, they're really taking it seriously now. And, you know, this is the PG era. I mean, I don't think it's going to
be
the attitude era. So, you know, so, yeah, this is very serious. And just think about the female wrestlers, you know, what they go through. It is hard. And it's, a, you know, they're in a male-dominated company. And then, you know, just for them to just speak out, you know, if they were affected, and just, it's just, it's hard for them. And it's not just the male wrestlers, it's also the female wrestlers. They really have it hard. And that's why I really support female wrestlers.
You have to.
Yeah.
I think it's really important for us to have this conversation, like I said, because, you know, because they're in the work environment that they're in, people will say it's okay. I mean, look at the Divas era. Look at what they used to wear. Look at, I mean, because people say, oh, because this is happening all this time. Like, why is it that now they're coming in? Like, who doesn't know that Vince is a perv? But the fact that we do know and we didn't do anything about it is what is wrong. The same way we came out with saying, you know, give the Divas a, we should have also been talking about their treatment in the locker room and outside of the locker room. I have two different Twitter accounts, right? I have my personal Twitter account and I have my wrestling only dedicated just to wrestling Twitter, where I can freely talk about wrestling without people side-eyeing me or whatever. Why is it that I'm scrolling through and I'm seeing, you know, pictures of like female wrestlers and like men just degrading them? It starts there. The reason why people think it's normalized is because they're doing it themselves. They're painting these female wrestlers in this light. And hey, I do it. I mean, I do it too. I mean, have y'all seen Carmelo Hayes's body? Like, but there's a line. There's a line where it's drawn to it. And I think that's what's really important.
I think sometimes where men don't really know that line is drawn sometimes. Just go overboard and they just go for it. And they do whatever they want to do because it's like, it's a part of their nature. But I don't understand why do men do that sometimes. Like, so, I'm not saying like all men, so don't come for me, men.
I pour Captain Crunch into a bowl. There is no berries anymore. You cannot have shit.
No men.
Right. Exactly. So it's
coincidence?
I think not.
But no, thank you guys for being. I know this is a very sensitive topic. I didn't want to upset any of us, and I didn't want to upset any of the viewers.
That's crazy.
But you know, this is important. It's real life stuff. You know, people are being in so many ways, financially, sexually, emotionally, physically. So we're a fun podcast, but sometimes we have to delve into the harsher stuff.
Right.
I'm glad we had this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. All
right. Oh.
Should we get into the next topic then?
Yes, we shall.
We're all girls wanted there. Y'all think of Law and Order SVU too much.
I mean, just think about it. I mean, art takes life. I mean,
it is life. It is life. Yeah. But it shouldn't be.
It does.
It should be life.
Unfortunately. It should be, but it is unfortunately.
It is definitely. All right. Next topic, y'all.
All right.
Yes, next topic.
Let's see. The next topic is. So the next topic is. Sorry, Sunny. Okay, so. Okay, so the next topic is love in WWE. Bianca Montez. Of the premiere and the review. So the couple, the real life couple, Bianca Belair and Montez Ford, they had their new series out on Hulu on Friday, which was yesterday, February 2nd. And it came out at 12 a.m. Eastern time. So, so far, I am on the fourth episode. I didn't watch the whole season.
it's all good.
For those who did, that's great. But this is so beautiful. Bianca and Montez, they're just showing just behind the scenes with their marriage and, you know, their life in the WWE and how they just juggling with that and their personal life and stuff like that. So far, the season's really great. I need to watch the rest of it. I was so busy with other stuff. I couldn't watch like the rest of the season. So I'm gonna get back to watching it later on tonight. I really love it. That's my girl, my queen, and her husband. They just that duo. Like they're like,
Lady B is Finn and Vicky is Rounds.
Wow. Yes, it is really great.
Yes, it is.
They have their own TV show. That yes, Bobby, you are correct. It's great. Yeah. So. I
watched the whole thing yesterday.
Did you watch the show yet, or are you planning on watching the show? Or
I'm definitely planning on watching the show. I didn't get the chance to watch it yet, but
yeah,
I haven't seen it yet
either, but I plan on it too.
Yeah, I might most likely watch it tonight and everything else, you know, just to
see how it goes. I'm sorry, you guys. I didn't really like watch the whole thing just to give like a full review.
You're good.
Yeah. So I really love it, and you know, and yeah, and Montez was really funny. There was one episode where Bianca talked about Bianca Montez talked about having the baby.
I seen the highlight of that.
His birth. It's like, who's gonna watch it? And if Montez is like the crowd. That was funny. I was laughing.
Yeah.
Montez has a sense of humor and he really does. So it will keep you entertaining and stuff like that. And plus, it was trending on Twitter.
Oh yeah, yeah. I seen it. Yeah. I was just like, oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't really watched it because I can't access from here.
I hope their show, you know, continues on, you know, after the season's over, so they can have more seasons.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I plan on watching it. I mean, I used to watch Bianca's YouTube channel, and I could already see, you know, the
Exactly. Oh, yeah, she can push her baby out.
That's two different things.
Now she's completely useless.
That's two different things. Okay, pushing a baby out is no joke. No. You can train yourself to pick up Otis, but you can't train yourself for childbirth. That's
right.
I mean, that's true. But I think Bianca can handle anything. Bianca will be a great mom. So
yes, I believe it. Her name Bianca. Yes, her name. Yes.
I really am planning on watching it. I can't access it at the minute because I'm in the UK. But I think it's a very good idea. In my opinion, even though I haven't watched it, I can tell it's going to be better than Total Divas. I think Total Divas was set up in a way where it was like some wrestler's version of Bad Girl Club. Like, I mean, I watched it, and when I watched it, I was young anyways. I was like 11, 12. I was 12 years old when I watched that. So yeah. I'm 20 now, so I can say that with my chest. Like, it felt like I was watching a wrestling version of Bad Girl Club.
Yeah.
If Natalia wasn't crying out for his cat, it was Cameron starting random fights. Like, I can't.
For real.
I'm like,
it's love. It's nice.
Too much drama.
It's funny. Yeah. It's comedy. It's romance. Like, I even saw a preview where Omas was in it as well when they were watching her lift that weight. It's just nice. I think when we have these reality shows, it's nice for it to be just calm and
calm,
just something.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I remember also watching, like, remember that time during like lockdown when WWE was really like zoning into the personal lives of wrestlers, and we got to find out a bit more about them. Like, it's nice when we get that opportunity. It's not everyday fights and random weird stuff. So yeah, it's very interesting. I think they did a really good job on that, and I hope they have more than one season, and it's not just the one season. Wonder. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What was that one?
It's like you got the Total Diva side that's rowdy and wild, like that, like you said, the Bad Girls Club. And then you got Bianca and Montez, the calm side.
Yeah. It's nice. It's like it really is nice to see. Nice love. Just, I mean, don't get me wrong, I was 11 and I was loving off Total Divas. I was like, yes.
They were cracking jokes.
But now, I mean, I'm 20, turning 21 this year, and I'm
looking
just like,
back at it.
What was I watching?
What was I watching?
What was I watching? Oh my word. I had to watch John Cena literally publicly humiliate Nikki Bella. And then beautiful love. You know, their chemistry is amazing. Like, if it wasn't for Mark Henry, you know, reaching out to Bianca and saying, hey, look, I can get you this audition, but the rest you've got to do by yourself. We would not able to, like, just be raised. But even if he was explaining his tattoos, like, he said he had the kiss here, and then he's got, like, the portrait
face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought that was so cute. I ain't gonna lie.
That was so sweet.
That it's cute, but at the same time, it's like, I don't care if you're my significant other. I'm not gonna be getting a portrait of you or your name or a symbol on my body. I'm like, no. I mean, you may be my love, but you're not my blood. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You're not my mother, my sister. If I had a sister, you're not my cousin, my auntie. Mm. my grandma, great grandma, my child, my brother, uncle. I don't care if I had a brother.
She went down the line.
But other than that, I mean, no offense to Montez, but I wouldn't have that the portrait of my wife, husband/husband, or a kiss symbol. No. It's like, let's just say if Bianca and Montez, let's just say if they don't work out. Like,
right. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, if they don't work out.
I think the Undertaker did something similar with his second wife, Sarah, when he had a tattoo of her name.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was right here somewhere. Yeah, I mean, good for Montez. I think it's beautiful, but it's like I wouldn't do it, you know, if it's a seven of a significant other. That's just me.
They always say, you know, tattoo my name to make it know it's real or something like that. So I'm just like, oh God,
your husband, I love Montez too. But that, nah.
But I do see where Binky's coming from. I see where you're coming from. Like, first, I see them sticking together for a long time, but gosh, really, if something happens and they end up breaking up or something, I mean, now this is like permanent. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's really permanent.
Exactly. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's something that's stuck on you forever. So,
right.
Not a fan of real life married couples on reality TV. Blame shows like Newlyweds, Nick and Jessica.
I mean, we have quite a few that we've seen. I mean, we've seen The Miz and, you know, Maurice. Enjoyed that, but I'm not really a fan of them as a couple. To be fair, I have my reasons, but I won't say them out loud lest I get sued. But I get sued. But and then we've also seen Cody and Brandy together as well. So it's very interesting to see, you know, how this is gonna play out.
Yeah,
I mean, we've been able to see couples in the, you know, partnership. I mean, we've seen the Bellas with their husbands as well on their show. I think when it comes to reality, if they're gonna make this work, don't give us a reason to hate these people. Yeah. Like, because when I watched The Miz and Maurice, that's when I don't like these people. But, I mean, I'm happy for them. You know, even their premiere was really nice. The amount of people that came out to support them just goes to show their heart. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Char? We haven't heard from you. What do you think? Or what are you?
Yeah, I think I've seen like some. Yeah, I'm definitely planning on watching it. I haven't got. I'm like everyone else here. I haven't got a chance to see it yet. I've seen like some of the previews and stuff. I'm excited to see the show. Like, they seem like such a fun, enjoyable, cute couple and everything. So I'm looking forward to seeing the show. Get more into the inside of their relationship and everything like that, because they're so adorable. You see some of those pictures that were on the slides, and they're such a cute, adorable couple there.
Yeah, and you can tell they have compassion and love for each other, and you know, their love is never gonna probably stop at all, because they know how much they love each other and stuff like that. So
exactly.
Hi, Katie.
Oh, hi, Katie.
Hey. Yeah, I
think that Bianca and Montez, their show so far is better than The Miz and Maryse is, and you know, and Mrs. More points to the other couple, but you know, Bianca and Montez, they are my super couple. They are my Beyonce and Jake. They are Beyonce and Jay-Z of WWE. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, definitely.
Oh, man.
That shit got him geeked.
But yeah, they're definitely cute, though.
Yes, they are.
They are adorable.
Oh, yes, they are great.
They are great together, Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
The chemistry is everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you can see it. You can see it. You can see it in their photo op, their photo ops, anything backstage that they do. It's like you see the chemistry there. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I actually hope they're like one of those couples that stays together forever because they're like so good together.
Yeah.
Ready for commercial break?
Yes, ma'am.
We'll see you guys in a few.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be right back, y'all.
All right.
Be back in a few.
What do you want to do?
You boys a bit bored? Snap into it! Snap into a Slim Jim! Tear to the spice! Think we just ain't paste! Hey, nice! Antique! Snap into it! Need a little excitement? Snap into a Slim Jim!
California.
Yo.
Cool muscle dude Stingman.
Like what Sting like wearing his
like
feet.
Riz, dude.
Peruse. Shoes for your feet. Pockets for your stuff.
And we're back from commercial break. Hope everyone's break was good and everything. And enjoyable and peaceful. So let's get into our next topic. Coming up tonight is NXT's Vengeance Day. Ooh, we have Joe Gacy versus Dijak in like a no DQ match tonight. That's gonna get violent. Ugh. Then we have Lyra versus Roxanne for the NXT Women's. It's tomorrow, actually. My bad. Lyra versus Roxanne. Then we have the family taking on. Ooh, what's her name? I don't remember the name of the faction, but the family. And then we have Oba versus OTM. We have Oba Femi taking on Dragon Lee for the North American title. Then we have Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin taking on Carmelo and Trick for the number one contendership for the tag team titles. And then we have Dragunov versus Trick Williams for the NXT title. So, what is everyone's thoughts on the card, and what are you guys' predictions for the show coming up tomorrow? Two of those matches are playing into each other, have you? So, I mean...
I mean, personally, for me, I'm not really looking... I'm not really looking forward to Vengeance Day. I think the only two matches I'm pretty interested in watching is Williams versus Dragunov and Bron Breakker and Corbin versus Hayes and Williams. Sure. Maybe the Dragon Day match. But I don't know. I mean, I have high hope for the pay-per-view. I hope it is great because after the monstrosity that happened on SmackDown, people need the
they need something good to pop up.
But right. Yeah, that's my opinion on it. I'm not a heavy NXT fan, but those are the matches that I'm looking forward to watching. Yeah.
I can agree with Jenny. I'm the same way. I'm not a big NXT person, but I see a few that I heard of or seen or I know before. So I'm like looking forward to Lara and the other girl match. And I'm also Roxanne Perez. And I'm also looking forward to Baron Corbin and what's the other one's name? Oh my gosh. Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
Bron Breakker. I don't know. Bron Breakker, he reminds me of like a little mini version of Brock Lesnar for some reason. I don't know why, but he just do. But yeah, when I seen him on Royal Rumble, he was doing his thing though. I like it.
Breakker, Hayes, and Williams will be called to the main roster soon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've been seeing Breakker on SmackDown. Carmelo's been wrestling a lot on SmackDown too.
Of course. I mean, I've been waiting on it. That's the only reason why I'm still watching NXT, to be honest with you guys. Because there's some amazing talents on there that should have been called to the main roster ages ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm waiting. I feel like that's the only reason why.
He did get high praise last week.
Yeah. And Bron Breakker, he was on SmackDown last night. So I think, it's going to be his opportunity.
It was Lyra and Roxanne.
Definitely going to be an opportunity there.
Yeah.
What do you think,
Pinky? Let's start building up the future. Gear trick, change your finisher.
What about you, Binky? What do you think about this topic?
Well, honestly, due to my, personal issues, I haven't been watching NXT like that. I'm not so sure about certain, people on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really looking forward to the Lara versus Roxanne match.
Yeah.
And the Trick versus Dragunov match.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also looking forward to the...
He said you're the
number one contender. I know. I'm so sorry. I know I'm the number one.
What's she doing? What's she doing? Drain the... Oh my god! You're killing me, woman! Hiya, drain the...
So is the probably one person who actually watched NXT this past week. I mean, I was looking forward to the build up to some of these matches in the show, especially the story going on between Trick and Carmelo. That story is being played out heavy. That's what I'm looking forward to is those two matches, the Trick versus Dragunov and the... Carmelo, because I have a weird feeling the outcome of one of those matches is going to play a factor into that main event match tonight. So I'm intrigued to see where that leads to and everything. But the build for most other matches on the card isn't really exciting to me. This whole past NXT episode, it wasn't really that impressive to me. And so I was lowered my expectations on the pay-per-view. I was NXT this past week didn't get me to want to watch Vengeance Day, surprisingly. But I'm like, if I did, it was like I would look forward to those two matches the most, because those two matches are like the major focal point of what's been going on in NXT this past few little bits, the whole story between Trick and Carmel. So how is that story going to play out tonight?
I mean, it's, you know, I thought that this pay-per-view was tonight, because usually these pay-per-views, you know, they've been like
Saturday,
Saturdays.
And I'm shocked that it's tomorrow.
I'm not going to lie.
That's why I was like, oh, it's tonight. Oh, no, it's not.
I'm going to try and watch it on time after work, because...
Yeah,
it's gonna be difficult for me, and so the car looks really good.
I think I'm gonna tune into that. I don't know. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a big NXT person, but I think I will watch it tomorrow. Like you said, Binky, usually, you know, pay-per-view matches are on Saturdays, and so like I'm thinking, okay, this is, it's gonna be tonight, so I'm like, you know, I got something good to watch, so you know. It's all good. I'll tune in tomorrow to see how it is.
I'm interested to see if Tatum Paxley costs Lyra to lose the NXT Women's Championship at Vengeance Day. That's an interesting story too. Like Tatum Paxley's been exhibiting a lot of like borderline stalkerish behavior with Lyra. So I'm like, or enhance it.
Yeah.
But WWE needs to hit a home run with some of these major shows coming up, especially after the stuff that happened at the press conference post Royal Rumble, plus what happened last night on SmackDown. I mean, if you legit go look at that cage match review, oh my gosh, it's like below one the rating for that show. So it's like people are not very happy right now. You better knock it out of the park tomorrow night. You want to regain some of these fans' trust. Mm-hmm. The product.
Yeah.
Get it together, company. Get it together.
Oh yeah. Oh, I agree. Oh man, I thought it was gonna go super down here after that. After that whole situation.
I criticize AEW when they do things that they shouldn't be doing. So.
You know what? It's crazy because you mentioned AEW, Char. Oh, someone in the comments mentioned AEW, and they're just—I don't know—it's for some reason they're just acting like WWE. I mean, with the segments, it's like I thought you guys were more about wrestling, and
It all brings back to where they want to try to be in competition with WWE. That's all it is.
Some of these storylines like don't make any sense to me, but it's like I've been like having hello Ambassador Sam.
Hello, Ambassador Sam. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
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 Oh, I'm with Chrissy. I love AEW too, but when they do dumb stuff, it's like, I mean, some of these storylines, like, you know, you have to be heavy critic.
I think the difference between AEW fans and WWE fans is WWE fans can never admit when things have hit the roof, but AEW fans can actually openly say, do you know what, kind of fucked up here. So
right.
Hey, Courtney. Thank you so much, Courtney. Thank you.
Fight me on that, but opinions.
No, I went teary on that one too. It's like I see it happen a lot, you know. You know, something happens on WWE. I see it a lot on social media every day. Something happens in WWE, and it's like, you know, they sweep it under the rug a lot. And sometimes you see like some of the bad stuff going on, and it's like, that wasn't good. What's this? What are you doing with this? What are you doing with that? What are you doing with this? This needs to be fixed. Fix the women's division. Do this. Do this. Do this. And it's like I see the opposite taking place online. So it's like, do better. So when I sit there and say you do better, you should want better, but you should want better for all your favorite promotions, whether, you know, you can't just like single out one and be like, hey, you know, it's like when you see something wrong with one promotion and you critique it, you better have like the same expectations for the other ones when you see the same thing going on, call it out and be like, hey, fix this. This isn't the right thing. Why is this person being booked? Why is this person not being booked? What's going on here? Like, I've been heavy critical of some of the stuff they've been doing lately. Like, do better.
Right.
Exactly. So why scrutinize one but not all? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You have to scrutinize every promotion, whether they book a division right, whether they don't do a storyline correctly, whether they're not booking talent correctly. It's like you have to call it out regardless of who it is and everything. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah. All right.
You want to get into our final topic of the day, Bianca?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so our final topic of the day is our wrestler of the week. And it is no other than Naomi. As you know, Dashi made her return at Royal Rumble this past weekend. And, you know, fans were excited, you know, as you know, she was a part of TNA. And, you know, she's been gone for like quite some time, you know, because of, you know, certain things that happened. She, you know, walked off or whatever. So, you know, fans were excited to see her back, you know, in action at Royal Rumble. You know, she made her entry at number 2, you know. So, what do you guys think on her return back?
Yeah, she put on one hell of a performance in that Rumble, too. Like, the Royal Rumble match, too. It's like,
oh yeah,
debut or return?
Yeah, she definitely, I would say debut back, you know. She definitely did her thing because, you know, coming in at number 2, it's kind of a coincidence how, you know, she made her debut at number 2 and then the men's Royal Rumble, Jimmy comes at number 2. So it's like, it was kind of cute to see that happen. So it was kind of, you know, cute to see that happen. So, you know, fans, you know, how, you know, happy to see her back. And I was excited to see her back, you know, and everything. But, you know, I was really happy for her. She seemed excited to be back. And, you know, I was, you know, mad that she didn't win it. But, yeah, I was excited. What are you guys, what's y'all thoughts?
Darn it.
Honestly, I love the fact that Naomi came back to the WWE. Mm-hmm. And her run on TNA, it was phenomenal. She won the Knockouts.
Oh yeah,
women's title over there, and she is working with Jordynne Grace. And speaking of Jordynne Grace, she entered.
Exactly.
And it was just great to see Naomi and Jordynne in the ring again. And they have very great chemistry, and I love the fact that, you know, she interacted with Bianca for the first time, and then, you know, with Jade. And it was just like, it was so beautiful. And Naomi, she is underrated, and she deserves
everything. Very underrated.
And her charisma is just everything, and she has chemistry with everyone. And I love the fact that she brought A game. You know, she stayed. I believe she stayed the longest.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah. Second, I mean, it's sad that she didn't win, but I'm really happy that Naomi came back and we could just feel the glow again.
Right. And I hope.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I hope, as me, you know, as a fan of hers. I really do hope that WWE really take an initiative of her, you know, being a female wrestler and have her, you know, being, you know, initiative, you know, being, you know, thought of, you know, having, you know, opportunities instead of her just being, you know, signed right back and then all of a sudden she's back in the back burner. Because, like, that's what I'm kind of, like, terrified for her, because, like, you know, she comes back, you know, she does all this amazing things in TNA. And then all of a sudden, she's back at WWE, and there's nothing's happening. So that's why I really hope for the best for her, and I hope, you know, everything goes, you know, everything bright as for her as possible, because she really deserves everything. She really deserves everything that she has done as far as her WWE or her wrestling career in general.
So. Because her last WWE run before she went to TNA, it was it was kind of like meh, because Vince was still in charge. So after she left WWE, then she went to TNA, and then now she's back at WWE because Triple H is in charge, and it's like he's gonna make sure that she's gonna be booked really well. And I see some feuds that she'll have with maybe with Jade, or maybe with who else is on SmackDown? Maybe with Bianca, with Tiffany. One of the Kabuki Warriors. You have with Io, you have with Asuka, you have with Kyrie.
What about Tiffany?
That Naomi can, could be in. So so Naomi, welcome back, and we miss you in the WWE.
Yeah, like
I feel like for me, I'm happy that she's back. I'm over the moon that she's back. I think, I kid you not, I was literally on the, like, they just announced Natalya and I was already falling asleep. I don't know what was wrong with me. I'm usually a proper European wrestling warrior. Because at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. So I had taken my nap. I was ready to watch. I kid you not, I was literally going like this. As soon as I heard her music, I was like, whoa! I've been knowing that she was coming back, but that woke me up. Like that was, so I'm happy that she's back. Congratulations. But you know what it is? My fear is right now is as happy and not happy, but as content as I am with the current state of the women's division. I mean, I found pure cinematic scenes between Bayley and Damage Control. The women on Raw are also doing well. But, like, my deepest concern is, you know, with these call-ups, with Jade coming in, with Tiffany coming in, and now you've got Naomi still coming in, I really hope that they don't waste these ladies' potential. This is the time for the tag team titles to be at youth. Of course, right now,
they're
Ricky Warriors, but this is the time where you really need to be serious with the women, because you can be lazy, but you can also be lazy and actually pull off something really great with these with all of these. So I hope that her return doesn't mean that she's gonna be treated like shit. Otherwise, she might as well just take her ass back to TNA for real.
See, that's my fear. That was my fear too.
On AEW.
They treated her like a top star.
You know what I mean? So they did. Like, I'm happy for her that she's back and all, but please give her the grace that she deserves, man.
Deserves, yep. That's what I was saying too.
I agree with you, and I agree with you too. Like, that was my fear too. Is like, I'm happy she's back. She put out an amazing showing in the Women's Royal Rumble match, coming in at number two. You last over an hour and 2 minutes. Then you're coming off of your amazing run in TNA, holding the Impact Women's World Title. That's awesome. My fear, though, is what Bianca and Terry were saying, is she's gonna get overshadowed, because you have Jade doing stuff, you have Bianca doing stuff. And they're amazing talents. And then you have Tiffany, who just arrived on SmackDown last night. I mean, you have women that are, like, on the roster that aren't being utilized well. You know, like, Mia Yim we saw for the first time in action in a while. Candice and Indy still haven't been used to their full potential and everything. And my one fear is, like, she's an amazing talent and everything. But is she going to get overshadowed by Jade and Bianca and everyone? Should she be on Raw? Should she be on SmackDown? I feel like if you're on either show right now, you're going to get overshadowed a little bit. And
for a person of
her talent and stature, she deserves more better than being, you know, stuck like a fourth or fifth wheel on a show. I can definitely say that
I have a feeling Naomi might get overshadowed because of Jade. Because, you know, Jade is about to come on top. So it's it's kind of a little 50-50 on, you know, on the side of where, you know, how Naomi is going to be played and how she is going to be, you know, in action as far as, you know, being by herself, or is it being, you know, with someone that in the storyline or something like that. But to be overshadowed by Jade or Bianca, then yeah, that's going to be a little bit something, a little iffy about something. I don't know, because that's gonna tell me that Naomi's going to be in the back burner again. And then that's why I feel I'm a little fear of that.
I feel like the fear also comes in because WWE doesn't know how to balance out its roster. Right. I think the whole the split between Raw and SmackDown has really ruined.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like it.
It has.
You're not always seeing the same people, but that's true. We are always seeing the same bloody people. Like, when Candice walked into the Royal Rumble, I literally forgot that she even works here. Like, not to be rude or anything. I like Candice LeRae, but like, I forgot that she worked. Company.
That's what I was saying.
That's what I was saying.
Where's Candice been? Where's Indy been? I mean, they're not being utilized well. So where am I supposed to find any hope that they're gonna book Naomi any better? Like,
we literally have
kind of scary to think about.
Yeah, because Naomi, like, you just pointed that out, Char. Our fear, well, most of us agree with you, Char, that the fear is that Naomi, they would either put her to mid-card or to catering.
Right.
So, I mean, at this point, if they're going to do this to her, then she might as well go back to TNA, where she was treated as the top star.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's the Impact. Or TNA.
I think you did say TNA and Impact.
TNA.
Yeah.
Everyone ain't gonna have that much of chances if they don't see. Well, they could seize the opportunity, but it's depending on who at that time, who the company wants to push at that time too. It's like, who do they want to push into these stories?
I agree with the boss, but I'm gonna say this, and I say this wholeheartedly. I don't think it's about seizing opportunity. I think that's absolutely.
It's.
21. I think 2021 and 2022, I was like obsessed with Bianca Belair, right? Now, I don't see why she is still in the spotlight. I'm not saying that she got no talent. I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve the spotlight. I'm not saying that she has not worked hard to get where she is. People are confused that she's on the 24 cover. People are also confused that. Why is she making posters for the winners of the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble is not even mentioned in any promos. Because Bayley has a fan base too.
Bayley is going to play or shadowed on that whole WrestleMania stuff, and she won the Women's Royal Rumble, and she's not getting spotlighted or shook his head off.
Bianca probably won't even have a title match at WrestleMania. She'll probably have
no
title match. Which, fair. You don't have to have a title match to be on the cover.
No.
But it's little things like that. It's not. I don't believe it's anything to do with opportunity. I just think WWE just picks people that they think in their head, oh my gosh, this is going to work.
When
they're shocked when they see people's responses. Exactly like, I'm going off topic. Exactly like how people are frustrated with The Rock and Roman. It's not that people don't want the match. It's just this is the wrong timing.
Wrong time.
The same thing here.
If
they put Naomi on in catering, or they make her like a shadow of her part, people are gonna be pissed. Why? Because what was the point in you bringing her back?
Exactly.
Yeah.
She might as well just stay on TNA. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, just,
you know, it's sad. It's like, that's the way I feel, though. It's like, you know, everyone, like, I sit there and say, when I sit there and say, we have to critique every promotion equally and everything, it's like, you know, AEW gets, like, criticized heavily for, and rightfully so, for the lack of women's matches they have on their programming and stuff. But it's like, you know, same thing with, like, WWE. Like, if you're not going to utilize the women that you have, which you have, like 20, 30 women there, and half of them aren't getting utilized correctly, what's the point? Like, you can't just pick and choose, like, certain people for certain spotlights and stuff like that, and then the rest of the women don't even matter. If that's the point and they don't matter, A, send them down to NXT, or B, why are they even on their roster to begin with? Because they're going to get overshadowed by every single top woman in that division, because you're going to keep going back to their same story over and over again. So,
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, you know, the boss has said if this roster was under just one show, I don't believe a lot of the... Which is true. That's the problem. That's what we're saying. Like, if even if this was on one show, I can tell you right now, like, I can actually tell you right now that we would have... Let's say we had, like, 1 5-hour show every week, right? We would literally just see Roman come out. I'm the best. Yeah. I'm there.
Acknowledge me. Acknowledge me.
Exactly.
For 4.5 hours, 30 minutes will be. I don't know. Cody talking about, oh my god, I'm gonna finish the story.
What do you want to talk about?
Like, I love that Naomi is back. She's back. Everyone's happy that she's back. But we can't dismiss that there is a major fear lingering in the air that woman, sooner or later, is going to be dumped. And as much as Triple H looks after his kids, he looks after his people very well. But there's a certain extent to where you can look after your people. I mean, on Raw right now, we see Nia Jax is, you know, having the time of her life. She's really more than she was before. Back in the, you guys, I don't remember seeing Nia on my screen back then, like, that much that I'm seeing now, which is great. Everyone else. Learn to balance. Even Tiffany being brought up. I'm happy Tiffany's here.
Yeah.
But my for her is still up here on the roof. Why? Because I know what WWE is like. This time, by the time we get to Hell in a Cell, we won't even know who she is. By the time Money in the Bank comes around, we'll be saying, oh, Naomi's going to win. Oh, Tiffany's going to win because they've worked so hard. And then you'll see they give it to flipping, I don't know, bloody Becky Lynch or something. You know? That's my point. That's what I'm seeing. Like,
good God if they gave it to Charlotte, because we know how she comes and go hiatus.
You know?
Oh, gosh.
Well, I'm happy she's back. Welcome home. But, I'm scared, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really scared.
Yeah.
I am too. And rightfully so. So, as we
right now, see. Right now, I've been watching 2015 Raw. I've been watching it, like, from start to finish. I'm in April. I'm in the month of April. And I'm watching it, and I'm, like, in awe, because I'm like, oh, my gosh, I used to watch this when I was younger and have so many different storylines to look forward to. We had Lana and Rusev breaking up, and Rusev is going mad, trying to fight John Cena. You've got Randy, who's on Seth's back, but then you've also got Brock Lesnar that wants his title back, and then you've got Seth and Kane, their little beef is brewing. You've got, at this point, I think it's the Intercontinental title that's just all over the place between R3, Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. This is going on. Now, come to 2024. What are you seeing? The same bloody people on your screen.
There's no passion. There is no vision. There is no aggression. There is no fucking mindset in this football club.
The bloodline every day. Judgment Day.
Exactly that. But no, I think we all agree.
And this wasn't some weak-ass training lessons either.
I'm getting sick and tired of seeing the Judgment Day at this point. I'm literally in this little bit of urge. I'm tired of seeing Damian Priest and Finn Balor's face. I ain't going to lie. And I'm definitely getting tired of seeing Dominic's face too, because, you know.
Do you know what I'm tired of?
I'm more so getting over this whole bloodline storyline. I'm like, is it
I'm just getting tired of seeing. I'm just getting tired of seeing the Judgment Day. I ain't gonna lie, cause I'm just all you hear is Judgment Day this, Judgment Day that, Judgment Day this, Rhea this. I love Rhea. Don't get me wrong, I love her, but it's just like, oh my god.
Yeah, I think it'd be better for her to be a single real star because
exactly
the star of the faction. So
right, because like how many times are you gonna keep seeing Damian Priest trying to cash in that daggone stupid ass? Excuse my French.
You might as well
cash
it in at this point.
Exactly, like either cash it in at Elimination Chamber or what's it? WrestleMania.
Or try to cash it in and it's unsuccessful. Just like do something.
Exactly. So we can get it on with the show and stop talking about
emotional. Damn it.
I'm over the bloodline.
Chrissy, thank you. Yes, I'm with you.
I'm over it.
Storylines drug on for how long now? What is it going on? Yeah. 4 or 5 years now? Is it ever going to have
4 years? Story? Literally almost 4 years it's been going on.
Yeah.
That's when you think it's this close to being over. They just add new stories to it to continue. Yeah. I'm like, ugh.
Exactly.
I'm just ready for
those two storylines to be over. That's it. That's all I had to say.
Same here.
Can't do it no more.
Bruh. I'm with you.
Bruh.
It's literally those storylines are just legit giving me a headache at this point. Like, ugh.
Yeah. So, we'll all see what happens when it comes to Naomi's future in the WWE.
According to Bondman, breaking news, Cash Wheeler officially charged an aggravated assault case. New court documents have revealed that the state of Florida filed an official charge against Cash Wheeler for the aforementioned aggravated assault case. Stating in the name and by the authority, Opine State of Florida, Andrew Asher Bain, State Attorney of the 9th Judicial Circuit, prosecuting for the state of Florida in Orange County. This is really long. Undersigned designated assistant state attorney under oath charges that Daniel Marshall Wheeler on or about the 27th day of July 2023 in said county and state did in violation of Florida statute 784.0211A make an assault upon Daniel Mata with a deadly weapon and in furtherance of said assault Daniel Marshall Wheeler did intentionally, one, to violate the Daniel Mata with said firearm, thus orating a well-founded fear in Daniel Mata that such violence was imminent. Since I'm not into legalese, I mean, Terry, what can you tell us about this if you know anything about this? Because this is like, this is all legalese, and I'm not into all these terms here.
Do you know the way I interpret this here? I just interpret this as some individuals who are just dumb as hell. Because we will make mistakes, but you are representing your company. Note that they are saying AEW talent. They're not separating you from the company. So when you pull stunts like this, what's that quote? Fuck around and find out. Yeah, congratulations. You found out.
Yep.
You found out. I mean, hopefully they're not too. I can't even say hopefully they're not too harsh on him because.
God help me!
Because look at what you've got. Like, this is exactly why I don't want to qualify as a criminal lawyer, because it's stuff like this. Like, I'll literally tell you to your face, what do you expect me to do? You got caught.
For real, right? Like,
it's just crazy. I mean, people make mistakes, and I really do hope that, you know, the judge isn't too harsh, but obviously the American jurisdiction is way harsher than the British jurisdiction. So I can't promise that the guy will get away with a lot. But I mean, it just goes to say, like, exactly what I said. When it comes to the legal aspect of wrestling, when you hear that
talents have gotten caught for this and that and this and that. Mm-hmm. Please don't take it upon yourself to decide whether that person is guilty or not based on what you see on TV day in and day out. Because at the end of the day, going into the ring, they're doing their stuff and they're leaving.
Right.
So
yeah, they're like a character, and then they're in real life, they're someone completely different. So it's like
100%. Not everything you see in the ring is what you see outside. Like, that's not what they're doing. That's why it's a weekly show. They just do their stuff and they go home. They go and they have their dinner with their family or whatever, whatever. And some people are even being abused by these wrestlers, but we just don't know. So
no,
my take on this is just, well, congratulations. That's what happens when you play stupid.
Like, exactly. This is one of those scenarios that pisses me off in a way, because I'm one of those huge AEW supporters, and this is one of those things where I can't condone this shit. And the fact that he's like got a match advertised tonight for a Collision going on tonight. And I mean, this has been going on since all out in Wembley. It was when he got arrested for this stuff, and he got to go to Wembley, got to have a match at All In and everything. And it's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, we shouldn't be condoning this kind of behavior at all. It's like, if I'm criticizing WWE and saying for all the bad stuff that's going on in their company right now, and rightfully so, I have to throw my hands up in the air and call out Tony Khan and say, how is this guy still on TV? What the hell are we doing here? Like, you can't let this stuff slide anymore. He needs to be punished somehow. But of course,
that's 1 minute of power.
Slap on the wrist, go about your day-to-day stuff. And, you know, that's not the right way to go about this whole system. So, I mean...
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Do the crime, do the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's why I've been calling it. Like, you do the crime, you do the time, but
exactly.
He's gonna get away with it in the AEW. Yeah. They'll let him get away with it, and that's a shame to me, because, you know, if you're doing that kind of stuff, you shouldn't be rewarded for it. But
right.
Well, going off that wild and crazy ending to our show, it's our victory lap end of the show. So, any shout outs, anything going on? Want to post your social media? Black Wheel. Oh
my God. Well, shout out to
your socials where the lovely viewers can find you.
Oh, shout out to Binky coming back.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much. And I wanted to add to that. Thank you again. Thank all of you ladies. Thank you. Thank you so much in the comments. I feel welcomed, and I'm glad to be back. Losing a parent, it's not easy.
Oh, yeah.
Especially a mother.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you guys from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for everything. And you guys are... family. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, Blackheart. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Christy. Thank you for having me back. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome.
Definitely.
Man, I fell down to my knees when the law came.
And welcome back, Terry. Welcome back.
Have a time. Every time you see me, that hammer's just no hype. I'm going on the floor and I'm ready for the mic. Now why did I ever stop doing this?
Thank you. Thank you. No, it's nice to be back. I mean, you know, it's always nice to spend my Saturday evening talking to you ladies and also interacting with the audience in the comments as well. You know, stay loved, stay blessed. Be nice to yourself and to the people around you. And yeah, man.
Yes.
This has been great. My social media, you can find me on Twitter.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, so y'all can catch me on my Instagram at highly_jaded. And my Twitter at I am Queen Bossy 20.
Boss says, are you good?
Good, sir.
Yes, I'm good. You can find me on Twitter at Legal5211. Drop me a follow. Talk to me if you'd like. It would be nice to interact with some of you.
Yes. You can find me at Twitter at Charlotte, MoxCrew2021, at Instagram at Charlene Acadia. That's my name. You know where to find us. Binky, where can they find you?
Yes. You can follow me on Instagram, ESTDeep606 underscore, and Twitter, BinkySprenna6 underscore.
So that's where you can find all of us. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, ring the notification bell, share this with all your friends, and tell them, hey, come on, hang out with your beautiful girl, amazing girls every single Saturday. I mean, the more the merrier. We welcome your comments. It's a party here every week. And we're on Instagram too. Instagram Live. I mean, come on, guys, check us out. You know where to find us. It's always like an enjoyable time with us girls here. So come support your girls here every single Saturday. Same old place, same old time. Right here every single week. Peace out.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Take care.
I'm a monster. That shit's out. Hey.